As you know, if you've heard me preach, I've mentioned this many times over, but on the Sundays of Ordinary Time, the first reading and the gospel always have a connection together. And a lot of times the second reading plugs into that too, but always, particularly the first reading and the gospel, there's always that connection. And so when I'm preparing my homily on Ordinary Time in particular, I always will ask that question: what is the link between one and the other? If it's a tapestry, what is the thread that's kind of woven between the two that connects the stories of the gospel? Because very often that's the theme, so to speak, the church is wanting us to reflect on. If I was to reduce the theme for this weekend, the fifth Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year C, I would say the theme of this gospel, of this weekend, would be unworthy, the sense of unworthiness. So really, the kind of the central figure for us in this weekend is St. Peter. Well, it's always Jesus, but the side figure is Peter. And we've all heard this gospel before 1,000 times of the calling of Peter. He gets in the boat, they cast out into the deep, they cast out, they bring in this huge haul of fish that the boats are ready to sink. And then Peter's response to all of this, watching this unfold, is, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be here. Jesus, I know you're a holy guy. I don't know what your ideas or your plans are for me, but like, I'm not capable of doing that. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've got a past. Depart from me." It's what seems to be a sense of humility, but as I'll explain here in a minute, I think it's actually something else. But you take that lens, or take that kind of the theme of St. Peter here, and now go read the First Testament through that lens, or excuse me, the first reading through that lens from Isaiah. And what do we have here? We have Isaiah, who's given this lofty vision of heaven. He sees the angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory." He sees this scene of heaven, and what is his response? "Then I said, woe to me, for I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." It's another way of saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Isaiah, recognizing this call, this place that he's been placed in the gates of heaven, and he does not by any means feel worthy to be there. And so what is God's response to that? "One of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar." So there's incense burning on the altar, incense going up to heaven. The angel takes tongs. He takes one of those coals from the fire, and he places it on Isaiah's tongue. "He touched my mouth with it, and he said, see that I have touched your lips, and now your wickedness is removed, and your sin has been purged." In other words, God is saying, "Yeah, I know, I'm fully aware. Isaiah, I know you're a sinner. Peter, I know you are a sinner. This is not new information to me." Here's the truth, though, of this. It's an old saying, it maybe it's cliche, but I think it's absolutely true, that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those whom he has called. Isaiah was not qualified. Isaiah was not worthy. He was a man of unclean lips. But the Lord qualified him. Peter was not worthy. He was a sinner. He was not wrong about that. But the Lord qualified him. Read through the New Testament, read through the Old Testament, read the lives of the saints, and you'll find consistently, over and over and over again, God calls sinners. He calls the broken people. He calls the people who have messed up, who have a whole history behind them, and he says, "Yeah, you, I know. Yeah, come here. I'm going to make this work." You know, think of Moses, like one of the highest patriarchs of the Old Testament, one of the highest prophets. He calls him, and Moses is like, "Well, I can't be the one to go talk to Pharaoh. I have a speech impediment. I'm going to look silly. I can't do this." And God says, "Yeah, don't you worry about that. I'll send Aaron with you, and Aaron will be the spokesman, but you are called and sent." And even, it's the same thing. I don't know if you caught that in the second reading from Corinthians. St. Paul is going through the list of apostles of how God called the apostles one after another. And he started, first of all, I hand on you what's for first importance, what I've received, that Christ died for our sins. And then he kind of goes down. He appeared to Simon. After that, he appeared to James, and then all the apostles, and then this kind of a weird line. And then last of all, as if to one born abnormally, the Lord appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, and I am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul drug Christians out in the street by their hair and stoned them in the middle of the street in front of their wives and kids and families. And that's the guy God called to be an apostle? Paul was keenly aware of the fact that he was not worthy of that. And I guarantee he struggled with that off and on. Even for me, this strikes really close to home, because my early days of seminary, my first semester of seminary, I went there, and this is like 2 months into seminary, and I remember distinctly sitting in a holy hour and kind of going through all the list of reasons why I needed to leave. Why I wasn't smart enough, why I wasn't holy enough, why I've got ADHD and dyslexia and just all I'm not. You look around, you can't help but compare yourself in seminary. You got 150 other guys up there with me at SJV, and I look around, and everybody seems smarter and holier and more fit to be a priest than me. And the conclusion after thinking through all this was, I just need to leave. I'm in the wrong place. God got the wrong guy. And it was the very first time God spoke to me clearly. It wasn't like audibly, like somebody else could hear, but God clearly told me. Very clearly, and I'll take this to my grave, I'll remember this till the day I die. He said, Curtis, it is an act of pride to place more trust in your weakness than in my power. Okay, God. It is an act of pride to place more trust in your weakness than in my power. And ultimately, that's what I was doing. I know my weakness. I know my sin. I know my messed upness. It's right in front of my face all the time. I'm intimately familiar with it. And that's what I was focused on. But it's funny, like, your sin, if it's an inch away from your eyes, that's all you can see. And your hand, which, you know, what, 5 to 10 inches, something like that, your hand can block out Mount Everest in the distance. Even though Mount Everest is a billion times that size, if your hand, if that's all you focus on, you forget to look at Mount Everest, and it can block it out. And your sins, your failure, your messed upness can block out God's power if that's what you're focusing on and placing your trust in. God does not call those who are worthy. And if you believe that you are worthy, then it's an absolute positive dead set sign that you're not. Because you are not worthy. But God does have big things in store for you, plans in store for you, things and tasks that he will set before you. And if you make this list of excuses, if you keep offering, well, Lord, I'm too old. I can't do that. I'm too young. You know, just like in the letter of St. Paul, say not you are too young. I'm not rich enough. I don't have the connections. I don't have a degree in theology. I don't blah, 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 blah. Excuse, 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 excuse. But so often we settle and we accept those excuses. And it's those very things that prevent God from working in our lives. The sense of being unworthy. The sense of, what do I have to offer? I think think St. Peter's words of, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man," it's an honest recognition. But did you catch Jesus' response? He doesn't say, "Oh, Peter, you're not sinful. You're fine." He actually doesn't even address it. His response, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man," for the astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those who were in the boat. And Jesus' response, "Do not be afraid." Peter's motivation, what might seem like humility, "I'm a sinful man," turns out it was really actually based in fear. And that litany of excuses that we sing to God every day of why we can't do this or why we can't do that, a lot of times they are based in fear, not in reality. At least that's exactly what it was for me. Fear and really pride. And so my challenge to you, and if I know the Lord and how he works, very often when there's a homily like this and where there's a message like this where it hits you where you need to be hit, usually this is preparation for the Lord coming to ask something of you. So just watch out. This next week, these next few days, just watch. The Lord will come knocking like, "Hey, I got something for you." Or maybe there's something that's already been asked of you in the past, something you've been mulling over and something you've been trying to dodge and avoid. And maybe this is the Lord's opportunity of saying, "Hey, I want you to think about this." "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Thank God that the Lord didn't accept that from Peter. He handed him, he entrusted the church to him, handed him the keys. May we be faithful to what the Lord is asking of us and not allow our own fears or insecurities or weaknesses to supplant God's power.